Amen. Thank you so much. That was good. Amen. Let it stay good. It's good to, to say, man, that was good. Well, let it be good. Don't let it become ungood. Just, meditate on it. Think on it. Appreciate it. Be thankful for it. It's a blessing. Dr. Gray, thank you so much, sir. It's not a small thing following, you or a preacher back there or a pastor. But I know we have the same Lord Jesus Christ, and it's all about him. Just lift him up, But appreciate you. God really used you this morning. And ladies, please get your mind set for the ladies' conference. And a great time last year. The year before last was good. This year, let's get a head start. Start praying about it, preparing for it. Guys, pull some wallets out and pay their registration, and husbands, get the registration paid for them so the ladies can be there. Let's plan on doing some, babysitting or whatever, watching the little ones so they can go out and have a time and just stay out of their hair for a little while and let them have a good time. Amen. That's coming up soon. I think April the 11th, 10th and the 11th. And so let's get our mindset towards that. Pastor had talked with me about that. He really wanted to do something for our ladies. He wanted to get that going. And he felt the timing was right a couple years ago. So let's just stay with it and see what the Lord does. Wow. Okay. Well, let's get Numbers. Pick up Numbers, the book of Numbers in your Old Testament, Numbers 11. And in the New Testament, find Hebrews 13. I was talking with my doctor. Matter of fact, it's two doctors, and it was two eye surgeries within about 8 days. And I said, I'm a preacher and this and that. And I said, I want to preach. I said, I'm a little dramatic. I'm not going to do any cogwheels or anything or flips. And he didn't let me preach for a while. And then God said, hey, look, it's time to get going. So God already gave me the green flag to go on that. He kept me out of the gym, this doctor, and wanted me to be a couch potato. And I understand it now because of the stress and the blood pressure. They working up in your head, back in there. And so praise the Lord, I'm able to see a lot better. I believe I'm probably about 80% now back and in one eye and completely back in the other eye. I will go in on February the 6th. And I'm remembering February the 5th. I'm praying about February the 5th, Mr. Fay, but the 6th. And hopefully I can get this green thing off of me. They got this leech on me and everything because of the gas that's in my eye and the bubble that should have went away 4 weeks ago that's still there. And the gas. So continue to pray. We need to get past that bubble bouncing around in my eye. But Numbers chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter, 13, and God's timing, a lot of people don't think about the timing and God's timing. We get in and manipulate. We try to manipulate the timing, but you really can't manipulate God's timing. So we get frustrated, we get agitated, we upset people, we upset ourselves, and get a lot of extra stress and things because we're in there trying to, make things happen when we think it should happen. And, of course, it's about God's timing, but the message isn't really God's timing, I don't believe. But a message is pretty much as good as the timing of it sometimes. The timing needs to be right, and God knows the timing. So it's good preachers to allow God to pick out what he want and not something that we feel would preach. And then God will be a help to some folks. Want to be a help. That's a good thing, too. In Numbers here, let me ask a question. Do you want what God wants for you? Okay. And like a lot of people want what they want. And they're not so much concerned about what God wants for them. Those of you looking in, those of you Solid Rock Baptist Church, God's timing is important. And what God wants, what he wants, is very important. We should want what he wants for us, for our church, for our family. We need to have that mindset. And in the Bible, I see a conflict with that and a thread that runs through the Bible where some people didn't want what God wanted. King Saul truly was a display of that, demonstration of just wanting to do his own thing. But God wants us to do what he wants us to do, and he wants us to be what he wants us to be and have what he wants us to have. And so in Numbers, we got a problem here in chapter 5. This is that chapter 11. We got that church coming out of the wilderness, coming out of, you know, Egypt. They're in the wilderness. These that we're about to talk about, they don't get out of the wilderness. They didn't really even want the promised land. Okay? They wanted to go back. Physically, they was out, but mentally, emotionally, psychologically, they were still there in the known world, Egypt. And we as Christians need to really come out. I mean, all the way out. So that God can do with us what he wants to do and accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Not in our lives, but in the lives of others that we are associated with. This group in verse 5, I'm not going to do much background. I want to use two passages here to kind of introduce the text. And so in verse 5, we see this. We, Israel, that church in the wilderness, we remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions. They probably had bad breath, but that's okay. And the garlic, definitely. But now, in this present time, under the present circumstances and conditions, now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all. Now, it was something, but they said there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And it goes on and on and on, but the point is this. They didn't want what God had for them. They couldn't even get their eyes on what God had for them. Their eyes was somewhere else. They wanted things they should not have wanted. And sometimes in our life, we can find ourselves wanting something that God never planned for us to have. And we're working towards it, and we're thinking about it, and we're planning for it, and we're just, you know, all that. And it's not in God's plan for us. There they are. And now they're saying, this is all we got? You know, is that all we're going to do, Mom, Dad? Is that all we're going to go to church? Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Is this all? Isn't there other things we can be doing? And Wednesday, and then you're talking about a conference. I mean, is that nothing but that? But that's what God wants for us. And we have to be careful. Don't we find ourselves in a place where we don't want what God wants for us. Emmanuel Baptist Church, Solid Rock, and those that listen in, God wants something for you. You have to want what he wants. Turn over to chapter 16. This is way of introduction. Chapter 16, you get the point there. They did not want what God wanted. It's all we got is what? Read the Bible, memorize the Bible. Be careful we don't get that attitude, that disposition. Because if we do, then we don't want what we have. And when you don't want what you have, you go looking for something else. We'll get into that a little bit. Chapter 16, you know this group, Korah and his group, okay? People with influence. And people with influence, we have to be careful that we're on the same page God's on. Because, you know, they went 250, you know, renowned, famous. They had influence. And Korah had influence. And they caused these people's lives to become a destruction. And so here, Korah had a problem. Look at verse 8. I want to just pull it out and then we'll get over in Hebrews, find ourselves there. Hebrews is a good commentary for the Old Testament. And Moses said unto Korah, hear I pray thee, ye sons of Levi. Watch it now. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you? That, the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself? Is that a small thing to you to be near to God? To do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord? Is that a small thing for you to sing in the choir, to do special music, to work in the sound booth, to do security, to do ushering, to preach, to be in the school, to teach a Sunday school class? Is that a small thing? Is it, well, we got nothing else but this. Two things going on here. One, there's nothing at all but this. Here, it's a small thing. Very similar. Stay with me. So, to bring you near to himself to do service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and if that's not enough, look, this is even more, and to stand before the congregation. To minister unto them, serving the Lord and serving church for us, okay? We get to serve the Lord and serve one another. Is that a small thing? Verse 10. And he's not even finished. He has brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. Watch it. Colon there. And seek ye the priesthood also. See, they didn't want what they had. So since they did not want what they had, they went looking for something else. Do you want what you have? After tonight, you need to make sure you know what you have. And I get into that, but you're going to have to want it. You're going to have to want it. I titled this message, Wanting What You Have. Simple. Wanting what you have. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much that you've saved us. Thank you so much that you've forgiven us of our sins. Thank you for making us family. We have a relationship with you. We get to fellowship the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we have a lot. We have eternal life, everlasting life. Lord, we got it made. We have so much that you have given us. It's so much more you want for us. Lord, you've given us a church. You've given us pastors. You've given us just Sunday school class. You've given us ministry. You've given us opportunities to stand not only before the congregation, but before you and serve you. Thank you. Help us to want what we have. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, Dr. Gray, some people don't want Jesus. Some people not going to, as was preached, they're going to reject Jesus. They don't want Jesus. They want darkness. They want sin. Now, do we want what we have? We have Jesus. Let's try spending some, make sure we spend some time with him. We have relationship, not just religion, relationship. And do you want the relationship? Do you want the fellowship? We got to want that. Israel wanted a king over them. Why did they go looking for a king? Because they did not want God ruling them. I'm going somewhere. I think you're feeling me a little bit. Joseph, brothers, sold them into slavery. Why? Because they did not want him. Esau sold his birthright. I mean, we can talk about Jacob and how Jacob was this and that, but Esau did not want what he had. Let's focus on that a little bit. And him not wanting what he had because he sold it because he didn't want it. I hope nobody here will sell out what we have. I hope some of you ladies and some of you guys won't sell out your purity. I hope you will want it. Joseph wanted it. That's why he ran. And I get to when you want what you have, things change. You operate different. You think different. You behave different. The prodigal son. He chose the pig pen. Why? Because he did not want the lifestyle, the home that the father had for him. If you don't want what you have, and if I don't want what I have, we're going looking for something else. And in every situation I looked at in the Bible, it did not end up well. And many times it wasn't what they thought it was. You know, the grass not greener on the other side type stuff. Now, my text is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Let me get over there. I think we'll see it here. It's a lot going on the way he finished up 12 with God being a consuming fire. He finished up chapter 12 with serving the Lord, and he finished it up with having grace and just he gets into that. Then he starts out chapter 13 with let brotherly love continue. And he gets down and keeping the marriage honorable in the bed, undefiled. There's a lot going on here. But verse 5 says this, and this is what I want us to zoom in on. Let your conversation, that's your, if you would, that's your lifestyle. That's your mode of living. That's your manner of living. That's our character. Okay, our conversation, it's not just words that come out of our mouths. And that word is saying a lot there. Say, let your conversation be without, what's the word? Now, that's wanting something that don't belong to you. Covetousness is wanting something that belongs to someone else. We call that greedy. Like, you got enough. See, sometimes we driving along in our car that God has given us and we see another car and then that belongs to someone else and we want that car. That's covetousness. That's covetousness. I wish that was my mother. I wish they were my parents. Well, you have parents, but you coveting what doesn't belong to you. Don't let that be a part of your lifestyle. Don't let that be a part of your things you act out in your behavior, is what he's saying. He's saying, look, I don't want that in your life. And he goes on to say, and be, here's the key word, content. See, That's the word. You're not content if you don't want what you have. What do you mean you're not content? It's not enough for you. It's greedy. You don't appreciate what you have. It's not what you want, even though God wanted it for you. Your church, the ministries, the direction that God is leading our pastor to go. It's easy to sit back and say, why are we doing that? We've never done it that way before. Why are we doing this? Why are we giving more? Why are we giving towards that and not this? Be careful. They murmured a lot, that church in the wilderness. Be careful. God got sick and tired of it. The Bible kept saying he heard it. He heard it. And they went back to their tents. For us, going back to our house. And we talk about it. And their children heard it. They were a discouragement. Why? Because they did not want what they had. And it affected their children. It caused their children to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Influence. And so I kind of see now why the Lord wanted to kind of set that up like that. Because watch this verse now. It says this, and be content, meaning let it be enough, with such things as ye have. You know what that's saying? Want what you have. Let it be enough. And he has a colon there, so he's going to expound on that a little bit more. What do you mean do that? Because of what? Why? For he, because he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now tie it in together. What I've given you, it is enough. I know it doesn't measure up with the world. I know it seems like it's not what other church might have or another family might have. It might not measure up to what's in their garage. You know, that bank account, it might look, it's not like their bank account. The closet doesn't have the, you know, it's not a walk-in closet of clothes. Are you with me? I'm just making this, you know, practical. But he's saying, look, you got me. He's saying, I'm enough. Jesus is saying, look, I am enough. If you let me be enough, then you'll want what you have. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. You always have something when you have me. And you always have me. It's not that pencil writing you was talking about. It's just connecting it. I like what you said, teaching and preaching. I kind of like that, you know. I like teaching too. But right here, he lays this thing out. Now watch him now. He's not finished. Watch this. And then you're getting the message. Verse 6. As that S-O-S-O you was talking about this morning. All right? And here's another soul. I studied those souls when he said that. I went and played around with them souls. But right here, so that we may boldly say, and this is our part. His part, he's never going to leave us or forsake us. His part, he's going to give us enough. He's going to give us what we need, maybe not what we want, but we need to take that need that he gives us and make it a want. Everybody's all right? All right, okay. So right here he's saying this. I'm enough. And what I've given you is enough. Why? So that ye may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Amen. Somebody need to develop that, one of y'all preachers. All right? Look, the Lord, oh boy, that preach right there. The Lord is my helper. Amen. Look, when I don't want what I have, I'm not thinking about the Lord. I'm not considering that the Lord helped me with that. I don't even want the Lord help. I got it. I can go in and get this job all by myself. I got this interview. That's pride. It's thinking more highly of myself. But look, when I know God gave it to me, it's different. I want it. But if I think I got it, even though I didn't get it myself, I don't appreciate it. I might don't even want it anymore after I get it. Some people like that. They're just about getting what they want. And they know how to get what they want. But after they got what they want, could be one of you. Could be anybody out here to marry or to have. Then once they have conquered, it's like they're going hunting or something. I'm trying to keep this a little clean. Like those hunters, you know, when you're sitting up in the tree, some of y'all might know, might hunt. Camouflage, ready to go. The Bible talks about the one that hunt and don't use it is slothful. It's not precious to them. So now they got what they want, and it's not precious to them, or you're not precious to them anymore. Dump you. You done got all messed up emotionally, psychologically. You've been dumped or done wrong. Let God help you. Let God help you. Now, I don't know if I even finished that. I didn't plan on putting that verse in there. It's not even in my notes, but Holy Spirit said, look down to verse 6. And there it is. The Lord is my helper. And God knows how to fill the cup, right? And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I'm not afraid in the interview. I'm not afraid of the bill collector. Not afraid of the doctor's report. I'm not afraid what man will do. I'm going to go in. I want to be holy. I want to be an instrument of righteousness. And if they want to fire me, they fire me. I don't fear what man can do. Are you okay? Amen. Why? Because he's enough. He's with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And I really do have enough. I just don't know I have enough. Now, you got it. I know you got it. So let me say this. This word content right here is an interesting word, Doc. The idea of this word content is to raise up a barrier. Let me just try to illustrate. Brother Collinworth, you stand there. Now, I want Brother Collinworth. So what I'm going to do is raise up a barrier and step out here a little bit more, right there. I'm content with him. I want him. I don't want to lose him. I'm going to safeguard him. I'm going to, you know, like honor. Like husband, honor the wife. I'm going to put him in a place where he's safe. We'll make sure he's secure. So this is what that word content means. I'm going to set up a barrier, Brother Mark, if you're standing there. Brother French right there. Brother Collinworth right there. All right? I'm setting up this barrier. And look, we're going to put our backs to him. Put our backs to him to ward off. To ward off anything or anyone. Why? I want him. I want him so much, I'm content with him. So I set up things in my life to ward off anything that would take, hurt, remove. Brother Collinworth, from me. Go sit down, guys. Thank you. I wrestled with God about that. He God said, I want you to do that. Not necessarily with him, but I said, oh, God, I said, that necessary? You guys are better Christians than me. I'm always sure about that, God. But you get the picture, right? Pastor wants this pulpit. That's why not anyone preaching it. Men, You want your spouse? You want your wife? Then you have set up barriers to ward away anything. You want Emmanuel Baptist Church? Then you set up barriers to ward away. You two guys, military, you understand what I'm talking about. Why? It's important. I'm going to set up financial barriers. I'm going to set up security outside. I'm going to do whatever necessary to secure it. I'm not going to say, oh, she's just insecure. Oh, she's just insecure. No, I'm going to make sure she's not insecure. Everybody's all right. That's a little counseling right there. No, that's a good counseling. Why? Because I'm content with her, him, it, the church. It is enough for me. My Sunday school class is enough for me. As a teacher, it is enough for me. As a student, it's enough. Those of you looking in right now, God's timing, God has set this solid rock. This is enough for now. For now. God's timing, he'll decide what's next. Be content. I looked it up in the 1828 dictionary. Contentment is this. Get it. A satisfaction. Which, watch it, holds the mind in peace. Keep that mind so perfect peace stayed on him. Watch it now. He's there. Never leave you, forsake you. It's a satisfaction. I'm satisfied with what I have. I'm satisfied with my parents. I'm satisfied with my children. I'm satisfied with my church. I'm satisfied in the college I'm in. I'm satisfied with my academy. I'm satisfied with it. So I'm going to allow that satisfaction to hold my mind in peace. I hope we leave here tonight more content with what we have. Because if you're not, you could lose it. You lose it. Cora lost it. Those in the wilderness, those ones, the older ones, the parents, they lost it. They didn't get to the promised land. I mean, you look at the thing. Esau, he lost it. And he wept and cried with bitterness, but God didn't. It's gone. It's gone. That's the consequences of not wanting what he had. The prodigal, looked at grace and mercy of God, and he got back in there, but he lost a lot out there. Sometimes you come back and your mind not the same. Your emotions is not the same. They're not stable anymore. So you got to want what God has for you. Contentment, get this, is wanting what you have, not getting what you want. Now you can turn that around if you like, either way. I remember when I pastored in North Carolina. I got ordained in North Carolina. I remember that. My wife, I'm sure you remember that, Curl, when I got ordained and ordination and everything. God has given me a lot of messages. I mean, I had a stack of messages. Then I got to fooling around with this crowd and these really intellectual, sophisticated ministers, they call themselves. And you know what happened? I started wanting what they had. Now I looked at what I had, and God gave me what I had. And you know what? Mm-mm. wasn't enough. It wasn't that. And you know what I did with them? I threw them in the trash. Young preacher, I threw them in the trash. Stupid, I know, dumb. I threw it. You said, that's dumb, that's stupid. Well, when you don't want what you have, you throw it away. Threw them in the trash. I went back into my little room. I got this prayer room. I got missionary cards all over the wall. I got a prayer list of 300 here, and I pray. And you might get a text once in a while, you know, praying. I'm praying for all these people, right? And then this time, I got to where I wanted to say, and God, you know, I couldn't say it. Love you. See, that's a love problem when I don't want what I have. I mean, the bottom line, I like to get back in that, but I can't get in there. But here's the thing. I lost that power. Remember what we was talking about, Doc? I'm like, I'm in here praying. It's just religion now. I'm like, man, what's wrong? And the Holy Spirit let me know, well, you threw away what I gave you. Why should I give you anything? I mean, you didn't want what I gave you. And I just wept bitterly. And I cried. I went back to the trash. It's gone. Went to the dump. It's gone. I never got them back. And I never was able to outline one of them. Couldn't remember nothing. I had a good memory. I used to have a very good memory. I can remember, like, what do you call those books? Textbooks. Made 100 on my test. Always, I just, you know. One, number one, never less than number three in the nation on exam. Because I had a good memory. Couldn't memorize one outline, one point. Are you listening? I threw it away. Don't throw away your parents. Don't throw away your purity. Don't throw away your education. You need that form of education. Because God has set you up for it. Now, if he didn't put you in it, then maybe that's different, but don't throw away that career. And it's God that got you that. You say, yeah, well, you don't understand. I'm intellectual and I'm analytically inclined. No, God gave you that. The question tonight is this. Do you want what you have? I didn't want those messages. And when I wanted them, it was too late. Ruth, ladies. You know I like the college students know to put the ladies in there, right? Ruth. All right? Hey, Ruth wanted to go with Naomi. The sister-in-law didn't. But Ruth wanted to go with Naomi. And you know what happened? She went. She wanted what she had. Naomi tried to. It didn't matter if Naomi was bitter. You said, well, you don't know what I'm living with, Brother Cheney. It didn't matter with Ruth. She wanted what she had. And because she wanted what she had, God gave her more of what she didn't have. Are you listening? Who's that other one? I wrote down somebody here. Where are you? You know, don't laugh at me. I got a bubble still. I turn over there, bubble. Get over there, bubble. It's just crazy stuff. Caleb. Did Caleb want the mountain? Did he get it? Somebody in here tonight need to start wanting their marriage. Wanting their spouse. Wanting their ministry. Because when you want them and you want it, you accept it. Amen. Let me get into that. Jot them down. Jot these down. Something's in there, but jot these down in your mind. If you want to learn to want what you have, write this down. It's easy. I'm just giving you these three. This is not preaching. I'm giving you the thought. Not the thoughts, just the actual thing. Number one, what we have will be enough to satisfy us when we, number one, this is the first one. This is where we get started off from. acknowledge that God gave it. You say, well, I don't know if God would give me that sickness. Well, God allowed it. I don't know if God would mess my eyes up. God allowed it. Well, Brother Cheney, you don't know. You don't know what I mean. When I first saw him, he was like, wow. Now it's like, whoa, what happened? So you don't know. No, no, no. God allowed it. God gave them to us. That's the first thing. That means whatever it is, it's good. It's right. It's best. First, that seems simple, but God allowed me to have this job. God allowed me to have this business. God allowed me to be at this church. God allowed me to be a pastor, a preacher, on staff, to be a teacher, be in college. God allowed me to be sane. So I don't want to put any drugs and alcohol. God done made me sane. Hey, God allowed me to be sober, clean from drugs. So guess what? I don't want to go back to that. I'm talking about the church coming out of Egypt. Look, God got me out of there. And somebody listen, don't want to go back to that. Want what you have. Acknowledge that it's from God and God's timing. Number two, accept it. Accept it. You said this is simple? Yes. The problem is you won't accept it if you don't want it. Because to accept it doesn't mean to try to fix it, change it. Oh, I marry him because I think I can fix him. I think I can tweak it, they say. You guys know tweak, but I think I can, you know, fix him, change him. And No. I'm not saying accept so you can change. That's not really accepting. That's kind of receiving, but not really accepting. There is a difference. It's like I pick up my phone and say, or hey, oh no. I thought I sent them on the buoy trip. No, I'm not gonna. You come back again? Oh, Brother Burns. Oh no, I'm not gonna take that. A little payback. Getting a little payback here. No, I'm gonna stop. But look, here's the thing. I can receive it, but not accept it. Some of you're receiving what you have, but you really hadn't accepted. And sometimes you can know it's from God and it's of God, but you just really haven't fully accepted it. And to accept it is to, you know, to as a contentment to that. Because once you accept it, then you build up barriers to ward off. When you know it's of God and you respect God, to fear God, because he says it's a consuming fire in the last verse before we get to chapter 13, I have this fear of God, holy respect and reverence, like, wow, what a God. So when I get something from wow, what a God, I'm going to, like, put up barriers around it to ward off because I acknowledge and I accept it. So I'm not trying to tweak it. I'm not trying to make it what I want it to be. I'm allowing it to be, allowing them to be, allowing my children to be what God wants them to be. I'm not trying to relive my life with what I didn't get to do through them. Okay? Acceptance. Third thing, it's four of them, the third one. And they kind of work together. Look at the third one. Watch this. Acknowledge that God gave it to me, or he allowed me to have it. Accept what God gives me. Don't try to change it. Don't try to fix it. You know, men like to fix things and, you know, make it better, especially if you're analytical here tonight. There's a lot of you here. I know who you are. All right, leave it alone. Let her alone. Okay. And then here's the third one. Appreciate what God gives you. That means you got to know its value. You don't want to de-appreciate it. You want to appreciate it. You know how you appreciate something? You know, I got my wife those emeralds from, I was down in South America, And that's the capital for emeralds. And I got these emeralds and brought them back. And a real rich green color, clear, you know. You don't see those in the United States unless they sell them for like, you know, maybe $10,000 or something. And it's like I wanted to appreciate them. I wanted to go see how much they worth. And everywhere I went, they wanted them. Got one of those on tonight? Better safeguard that, man. I don't know somebody. I don't want nobody. Make sure we got security around here and stuff. but yeah, look. If I don't, you know, I can tell when you want what you have as a college student. When I'm in chapel, because you appreciate it. When I sit down with someone, I can tell if they really want the church. I can tell if they acknowledge that God got them here, has them here. They accepted what Pastor Juan and the things he laid out because they appreciate it. They value it. So it's not a problem giving towards it because the giving is to keep it in place. And I don't question that. I don't question the monetary value of it. And so you appreciate it. You know its value. You know the value of what you have, of being a Sunday school teacher. That's why Pastor always saying you influence the church, you influence the community, they got missionaries, you know. It's just know the value of what we're doing. Know the value, your parents. And the fourth one, and this is the biggie, especially for what they call people that like to control everything. Allow God to control it. You need to write it down. Just save me. Not spiritual, just save me from a lot of disasters, destruction. This really helped me. Look, allow God to control my wallet, my purse, my checkbook. Allow God to control my children. My situation, my circumstance. Because he with me, never leave you, never forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I want them to say that. Remember that verse said, so he can, what was the word? Let me go back to that verse, because I wasn't going to do it. Boldly say. Boldly say, Lord gave me this. Boldly say, this is of the Lord. Boldly say, God was trying to help me with him, with her. With them, with it, with this church. And God's trying to, and it's not only about me, it's from God and for God. What do you mean? For his glory and for the benefit of others. It's not just about me. What am I saying? Let go. Let go and let God. Some of you got situations, circumstances you're dealing with right now. You just got to let go and let God. And to do that, you're going to have to acknowledge that God put this together. You got to go back and see and remember and rehearse what God did. And then accept it. And then appreciate it and allow God to control it. Everybody's all right? And that goes with this. Here's the application. Go back to your cars tonight. And when you get in it, acknowledge it from God. Accept it. Appreciate it. And let God control it. If he said, give somebody a ride, give them rides. That's one simple one. Here's another one. Go back to your house and apartment and say, God gave me this. Accept it, appreciate it, and allow God to control it. God want to have some church fellowship there, Bible study, another Sunday school class. Don't say no to God. Let me give you another one. This is the application. Go home to your parents and let them know God gave you, me, and me, you. I accept you as my parent. Because there's been some friction. And accept them, appreciate them, and let God control them. Don't manipulate them. Children can manipulate you. Well, didn't get it with mom and try dad easy. Especially girl, I got daughters. That dad easy. I be walking around, man, my pockets be like that. Like, where's the checkbook? Where's the dance? Where's the credit cards? But no, seriously though. Somebody else controlling them bad boys, ain't God. But go to your spouse. Stop trying to fix him or her. Stop trying to change him or her and let God work on you. Acknowledge this is God. Accept them. Because see, when I accept somebody, then they don't frustrate me as much. The frustration comes from not accepting them. You know what I mean? Something you don't like about shortcomings, God's long-suffering, not willing any should perish. Long-suffering has to do with an enduring temperament that expresses itself in patience with the shortcomings of others. That's God. Okay? Why? Because he accepts us to the beloved. All right? So let me give you a couple more. We go, Sunday school teacher. Be careful. Just be careful. Let God build it. Just accept God allowed me to do this. And have some praise time in class. Just have a time when you open up. Let's give some praise. See how good this God done used this class to help you in your life. Give some praise time so that way you can appreciate it. And then say, I'm gonna let God control it. I know I'm smart, but I'm not smarter than God. And God already done gave Pastor me, he done gave us the plan that he wanted and the setup we want. Just let God in class. What's the next one? Business. God gave it to you. God's not going to let you down. He's there. He got you. You know, just be careful. That's a sensitive one because, you know, you got to make decisions, but still let God establish the thoughts. When God established the thought, then I don't have to have any anxiety about it because I know God gave me that thought. And I know God's with me. And I have to take myself back and put my mind on God again and allow that to happen. So that's enough application right there. I had my watch on before, and it didn't work. Nobody could help me to make it work. It's supposed to let me know to finish 15 minutes ago. I took it back to the car. None of the smart people, well, somebody told me the battery was low. That's why it didn't work. So it was operator error. So, but, hey, listen, let's want what God wants for us. If God spoke to your heart tonight, Lord had me to put that together like that and yesterday and to bring that to you. And I believe God want to help us with this. Let's want what we have, okay? Let's want what we have. Every head bow. I'm going to open the altar up. If anybody's standing at your feet, if you want to come, you come, you go. Those of you that's watching.